The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we back. Ruthless Aggression right here on the Barbershare Network. I am Pierce, joined as always by Chris and Rob. Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Pretty well. We're finally almost at another pay-per-view. It feels like it's been about 6 weeks. We always talk about how, you know, there's too many pay-per-views, and then we go so long without one, it feels kind of weird.
Low-key, yeah. I've been anticipating having a pay-per-view, thank God it's coming up this Sunday. This is the redacted Backlash look ahead show. It's happening this Sunday. So I'm kind of looking forward to having a pay-per-view because it's been a full month. I think WrestleMania was 30 days ago yesterday, yeah. Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that we got a pay-per-view to look forward to, and then of course we got an AEW Double or Nothing. I believe it's beginning of June, right? They pushed it back.
I think it's still the night before Memorial Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I it's a good thing that I mentioned AEW and Double or Nothing because I wanted to throw something in the rundown here that developed within the past hour. I'm going to say this as nicely as I possibly can. Okay? You ready? We need to abolish the Rhodes family. Like, completely abolish the Rhodes family, defund the Rhodes family, whatever hashtag that we can think of, free AEW from the Rhodes. My fucking God.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually watched Cody's promo ever talk about it. I probably will end up not watching it just because everyone is saying how bad it is. And just kind of based on the context I'm seeing, I'm not sure the reason for doing that at that moment in time.
I'm not sure either. I'm not sure. You know, I didn't watch the entire promo because, God, like, why would I want to sit and waste time watching a Cody Rhodes promo, right? But I caught around 40 seconds of the promo, and I'm going to pull it up on my phone and play. It's going to be very bad quality. It is what it is. But I feel like this kind of needs to come out. So let's try to do this one. Let's do this. Okay, here we go.
My wife will give birth to a beautiful.
He's fighting tears, y'all.
A beautiful white, a beautiful black American princess who will have both identities, shun neither, and I want her to know. I didn't just lay down under another man's flag. I didn't just have this defeatist attitude when somebody ran down the United States. I got up off my ass and I fought back.
All right, this tan Cuban motherfucker went on national cable television and let off that. Whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, he's also he's fighting a British guy. He's not fighting, you know.
Who is this addressed to?
Anthony Ogogo, I believe, is who he's fighting at. The guy that does the liver punch as a finisher. He's pretty new, but yeah, it's weird. I don't see the need for it. I don't like 2021. It's a bold choice to cut. I'm gonna stand up for the United States promo because you know it's not great here at the moment.
Okay, I'm looking at Anthony Ogogo right now. I don't mean to cut you off, but he is a bronze medalist in the middleweight division in the 2012 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
He also participated in Strictly Come Dancing, which is, I guess, like a Dancing with the Stars for England. And okay, you know, hey, he's wrestling now. That's cool. Back to the promo. What in the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about? None of that makes any sense.
No, it's not good. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and I don't even mind Cody as much as, I mean, he clearly is a guy that maybe shouldn't be in charge because he thinks he's a lot better than he actually is, you know, fucking working QT Marshall for 15 minutes last week.
Why did you spend 15 minutes of a 2-hour show, which isn't even 2 hours because you have commercial time, so it's more like an hour and 32 minutes. You spent 15 minutes of that time wrestling QT Marshall. That's time that you could have gave to another women's match.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, it's not good. Like, it's not good.
And there's nothing really more that I can add that hasn't already been said. But Brandy chimed in also on Twitter and said exactly what you think she would have said.
Yeah, because, you know, birds of a feather. I don't, can we please put a muzzle on the both of them? So I don't have to hear either of them talk about any... Like, okay, this is just a news flash for anybody that doesn't know. And I'm pretty sure that, like, the people that listen to our shows are... understandable individuals, right? They're not gonna see all of this Free Palestine shit on the internet and go, well, you know, the Israelis have some good people on their side. No, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna do the fucking research, figure out what the fuck we're talking about, and it's like, oh, okay, Free Palestine. So, like, I'm pretty sure everybody is going to understand this, but if you are a white male or a white woman having a child with someone of another race, whether it be a black child, a Hispanic child, an Asian child, whatever. Please do not weaponize your child's race or nationality or ethnicity for your fucking wrestling promo. It is not cool. It is not it, especially at a time where there is a lot of injustice going on with black people in America. And it really does anger me that you have Brandy chiming in, co-signing and shit like that. Like, I'm so proud. I never felt so moved. You should look at your husband like he's a fucking idiot. This is why I had a problem a couple years ago. I forgot the journalist, but this is why I had a problem a couple years ago, a couple years back. I think it was at Double or Nothing because it was in Vegas, and I'm pretty sure it was a Vegas journalist. But, you know, they had asked Cody something about, you know, being in an interracial marriage and, you know, the things that Brandy taught him, you know, about race relations in America, and everyone wanted to, he said, one time I told Brandy, I don't see color. She said, well, then you don't see my experience. I thought, oh, you're right. I can't just say that. You need to be able to see that experience and at least understand it. And everyone jumped up. AOC tweeted about it because, you know, congressional members just can't stay out of people's fucking business. And, you know, he was lauded for it. He was applauded for it. And I sit here 2 years later, like this is almost 2 years after he made those comments. And I sit here 2 years later wondering what the fuck Cody Rhodes has learned from his black wife. And what have you learned about race relations in America? What have you learned about seeing color? Because what you said tonight on Dynamite ain't it. It's not indicative of somebody that sees color in this country. Or better yet, somebody that sees color in within your own industry. You laud the fact that you guys are a progressive company and you're moving forward when it comes to race relations in your country. You guys have only had one black champion in 2 years. One black champion in 2 years. And you know what? Scorpio Sky gets treated like Dion Richmond in Not Another Teen Movie. Well, you know, I'm just a token black guy. Say things like, damn, shit, and that is whack. Which is fucking funny because he's really good.
Yeah.
And he could probably hold a TNT championship or, lo and behold, an AEW championship if you gave him an opportunity. Jade Cargill is hot. And I don't mean in the physical sense because you already know that. She is hot right now. What the fuck is she doing besides being in a match with Shaq?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you make good points. You know, I think at the end of the day, Cody means well, but he just tries so hard to, you know, mean well that it just goes past the point where it doesn't come off as sincere. And that's a problem.
It is. And like, this is just me personally. If you feel differently, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm above the point of just giving leeway because you mean well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you mean well, then you do well. And Cody Rhodes ain't doing well. Somebody in Cody's corner, whether it be his in-laws or, you know, anybody within the company, ain't trying to teach him right from wrong or trying to, you know, get him on a straight and narrow path with this shit, which is upsetting because his daughter is going to go through these problems. And I know that's like a different story for a different day. I don't want to harp like too deeply on that shit, but she is going to go through some shit. Being a biracial child, being a black woman in America. So Cody can't be out here doing that shit, doing what he did tonight, and then come 15, 16, 18 years down the line, when he has to deal with real problems with his black child, it's fucking silly. Cody Rhodes is fucking silly. The Rhodes family is fucking silly. And It just bothers me, man. But we'll talk AEW on a deeper level another time because it's time for Redacted Backlash coming your way May 16th, 2021, this Sunday from the Thunderdome, Yuengling Center, Tampa, Florida. This is the first pay-per-view that's going to happen there at the Yuengling Center. By the way, they announced a second edition of NXT In Your House, which unfortunately was announced by Barstool Sports.
Yep.
That's very unfortunate, but yeah, hey, it is what it is. That'll be happening sometime in June. Go ahead.
Yeah, technically, Fightful had it like 24 hours before, but
okay. You know, Fightful had the scoop.
Yeah,
you know, charging $5 for that scoop. I see you, Fightful. But yeah, Redacted Backlash is happening this Sunday. Let's go through the pay per view. Let's go through these six announced matches on this card. Let's start with the lumberjack match between Damian Priest and The Miz. I'm a little bit conflicted on where I want this match to end up, because while I think Damian Priest is on a high right now and you need to continue this high, Miz is also at a point where, you know, yeah, okay, Miz is kind of like 2005-ish Chris Jericho. And I don't mean that in the sense that he's almost on the outs and he's trying to leave, right?
Mm.
But Miz is a guy that no matter if you put him at the beginning of the card or he's in the main event, he is must watch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he kind of needs to rack up some wins. He's besides the Money in the Bank cash, and he hasn't been racking up wins lately. But I do think the way that this is playing out is favoring Damian Priest. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Priest. Because, and I'm going to spoil one of my picks for the later match, you know, you look at that Raw babyface side, if Lashley retains, there aren't too many people who can go and challenge Lashley. So I think that's what's next for Priest. Probably have Money in the Bank. So, you know, you win here, you keep him going. He doesn't have to win at Money in the Bank. I mean, you give him Money in the Bank winner cash in on Lashley or whatever, or, well, you know.
Even if he wins, he doesn't automatically have to challenge for the title. I mean, it'll be, you know, refreshing or whatever to see a new person or new, in a new place, but, like, he can be in Money in the Bank, have a good performance. He doesn't have to win. He can get spurned a little bit by somebody.
I
like that you pointed out the spurning point, because, like, it would make sense if both him and Sheamus are in that match. Because it doesn't, like, given the injury to Humberto Carrillo, he's going to be out for a minute. That's a potential United States Championship opportunity for Damian Priest if something with him and Sheamus happens, and then you got a feud going into the summer for Priest. You know, Sheamus is a good worker. You find a way to put the U.S. Championship on Priest. That way you're not having him waste an opportunity to take an L against Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's like they do need new people in the higher places, especially on Raw, just from a freshness standpoint. But, like, you don't want to just burn through somebody, because technically, because, like, you can do the stuff that they're doing with Roman and Cesaro, but, like, you can't copycat it. And to be fair, Money in the Bank is one of their big pay-per-views, so they'll probably want a marquee match. And no disrespect yet, but I don't think Priest is quite there yet.
No, but I mean, you know, you look at the rest of the...
But unfortunately, they could go with Bobby versus Braun.
No.
I don't want it, but they could do it.
It'd be bad.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't be bad. It's a
middle-of-the-card match.
It's a middle-of-the-card match on a show that's mostly highlighted by the ladder matches.
Yeah.
It's attractive pay-per-view, but, like,
that's fair.
If they gotta do it, they gotta do it. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know.
This is the problem with Braun. We've talked about that for a while. That's just the way that it goes.
Exactly. But it's just, you know, looking at the babyface challengers going forward, it's just few and far between. So right. I would go with Priest here. And then
you don't like him, you know, Riddle doesn't.
Well, he's in a tag team now.
I know he's in a tag team, but that doesn't stop somebody from challenging for a championship. Miz and Morrison just did it.
Yeah, that's true. But yes, I'm going with Damian Priest.
Yeah, and to kind of back up Chris's point, you know, you don't want to do that match too early where Priest is just given a championship match and he loses, because guess who he turns into? He turns into Ryback.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
We can't be, you know, too trigger happy with giving guys championship matches, because, and I know the Ryback thing was like, okay, Cena got hurt, so they have to throw him in there, but, you know, you got to exhibit some patience with Priest. But Priest is on a good trajectory.
Yes.
In my eyes. For the SmackDown Tag Team titles, we have the Dirty Dogs, which I did not know that they were, that was their name. Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode taking on the challengers of Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. I could not care less about who wins or loses this match.
Yeah, just give it to Rey and Dominic. Who cares? Really? Like,
it's like okay. That.
I mean, and you didn't know they were called the Dirty Dogs because Michael Cole refuses to call them that, which is good.
So is that just a Pat McAfee thing?
I think Corey came up with it originally. And
Dolphin, Rude, I'm going to lay a possibly controversial take out here. Rude and Ziggler are totally fine as tag. In fact, they put on some pretty good matches with the Profits. I think this one will be pretty good. I feel like if they're going to do anything with this, and if they're not going to give the ball back to the Profits, which I don't think that they're going to do right now, drag this out. Maybe drag this out and give Dom and Ray the titles at SummerSlam when there will be fans, wherever that show will be. Milk your way out to this, because you want to have Dom and Ray winning be kind of a big deal because it's father and son.
Yeah.
I mean, how often has that ever happened? If it is,
I don't believe it has ever happened.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's 16 years after the custody.
Would also be Ray's fifth tag title reign with five different partners.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's fun.
So I will not mind either result. I mean, that's not just because I don't care, because it should be fun, but I think that they should hold off. I think that they should hold off on any major title changes
until. I just think if you're gonna do a title change on this show, it's gonna be here.
Well, yeah, of course, it's the most likely to happen, but I don't know if it's going to.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pick Rude and Sacred.
That's fair. I mean, you know, you have the Usos back in the SmackDown tag division now too, so that kind of throws a wrench into everything. Well, not really throws a wrench, but
and also they're conflicting right now.
So. You assume they'll factor in at some point, maybe. But yeah, but I would give it to Rey and Dom. Who cares?
Hell bent on main event Jey Uso.
They are. They are.
Yeah. Let's go to the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship. We got Rhea Ripley, the champion, defending against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Listen, I understand the people who are just like, yeah, you know, Rhea and Asuka got to get more reps in. That's cool. You know, do that off camera. Do that shit off camera. I know we don't have house shows, which they'd be able to do that if, you know, we were back, which, by the way, AEW is going to be touring again, I think, beginning in July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll definitely get an announcement about WWE very, very soon. But, yeah. You know, I they have no chemistry right now, and I don't want to see them develop it on camera. I really don't.
No, and I mean, I get that point from people, but also they're all pretty much in Florida, I think, exclusively at this point.
Well, you could probably tell that they were working with each other because their match on Monday was actually...
Yeah, the match on Raw was better than their other two matches.
By significant margin.
But yeah, I mean, you know, they don't have to keep developing the chemistry on camera. They can, you know, work the matches, or they just will never find it. I mean, it happens.
Sometimes that happens.
You know, but... This one's tough because, you know, well, you put Charlotte in a match. I think she's always the favorite just based on, you know, history. I would go with Rhea. I don't think, you know, having her lose her first major title defense is good for anyone.
Well, I mean, if she doesn't get pinned, it is what it is. And if they go with the idea that maybe Sonya screws over the others, then maybe it can work since they've been trying to work that in. I could see that happening, but if it were me, I would have Rhea retained by hook or crook. Maybe have Charlotte take out Asuka. Rhea comes in. She dumps Charlotte out. It's sort of heelish, but she's kind of showing shades of gray right now.
Yeah.
I think Rhea retains.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, Rhea retains. I just want people to stop lying about Charlotte and just appreciate Charlotte, man. Like, you get one of her in a lifetime, okay? Appreciate her now while she is here. Like, you know, people hate that Charlotte's always in the main event, but there's a reason why she's always in the main event. There's a reason why she's always in these prime spots. It's because she is money on getting a reaction. Whether you love her or you hate her, she gets that reaction. How many women on this roster can you truly say that about? And we're going to go into the next championship match, and I can unequivocally say... The two women in that match can't generate a reaction the way Charlotte can, naturally. So, love her while she's here. Because the shelf life on Charlotte ain't as long as a lot of people feel like it might be. Charlotte is 35. Oh my God, she's 35.
Wow.
It's shorter than I thought. It's even shorter than that. Because eventually when her and Andrade get married... The clock's going to tick. The clock's really already ticking. Okay? So appreciate her while she is here. Now, SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair defending against Bayley. I feel like this is going to be a really good fucking match.
It'll be a really good match if they, you know...
Get time.
If they let it be a good match. As in to say, if they give it time and if they don't produce it like all of Bayley's other title defenses except against Asuka... Because for whatever reason, any time that she's in a title match, it's always like dumbed down, and I don't understand.
Well,
but to be fair, this is, you know, an elite worker against an elite worker.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good. And I also think that this feud should continue on after this show?
I mean, it pretty much has to. Who else is there on SmackDown?
Well, because Carmella, because they had her beat Ruby, but that was for a reason, because apparently they were going to do a Carmella-Mia Yim feud start on Friday, but they were pressed for time.
Yeah.
So they had to cut that. So, because I thought when I watched Carmella roll through Ruby, I'm like, oh, they're heating Carmella up for after, you know, after Backlash to be on this next challenger. Now I'm not so sure. But they should stretch this out longer.
Yeah.
These two are money together. Their chemistry is evident anytime that they wrestle, anytime that they're in the ring, interacting in any sort of way. So, you know, stretch it out a little longer. No one's going to be hurt by the if they, you know, run this back at Money in the Bank or something. Plus, it propels other people in other spots, although we'll talk about that in a little bit, I'm sure. Yeah, Bianca wins. This is an easy call, but I think that they should do it in a way that isn't necessarily super definitive so that the feud can continue. Although they don't really care about that. They'll continue feuds.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, but I mean, you have a point, you know, especially with continuing the feud, because there's not a ton of other people on SmackDown, I think, who are ready for it. You know, Sasha Banks has left the territory. You know, and then you look, the Riot Squad clearly are not heated up.
Rob, can you do me a favor? Can you teach me how to troll White Sox fans as well as you troll Sasha Banks fans? Because I'm getting there. I'm almost there. I'm almost there, but like, you do it so well.
But yeah, no, I mean, I have no problem with them continuing it. Obviously, Bianca should win. Backlash is weird because historically it's just been a lot of WrestleMania rematches and just the same winners.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, I guess. I mean,
I'm going to go with the obvious, and it's Bianca, you know, but Bayley is an excellent start for her. And a feud that can continue on to Money in the Bank, I feel. Let's go to the triple threat match for the WWE champ. We got triple threat matches for both Raw championships. It's like,
yeah,
so weird. The rematches with one add-on.
And the funny thing is that it feels like they did that to avoid the one-on-one confrontations, but they did them anyway.
Yeah,
they did them anyway for both the triple threats. They just didn't do Rhea Charlotte again because they're trying to save that, but still.
Yeah.
Bobby
Lashley's defending his WWE championship against Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. You know, they kind of got me. You know, they kind of got me on Monday thinking that they might flip the title on LeBron, but nah. I do think Drew is going to take a step back and Braun's going to be the challenger for Bobby for a little bit. Maybe Drew comes back around SummerSlam time, gets the title back from Bobby. But you can't take the title off of Bobby right now. He is so fucking good. Him and MVP are so good.
Yeah, exactly. Drew, I guess, wants to work gender, which fine. I mean, if he wants to, let him do it.
That's another thing. Gender's back. Don't hinder the. How do y'all feel about gender being back?
I like gender.
What is it? The Indus Shir?
Because he's with one of the dudes from Indus Shir. He's with Rinku Singh and. He's with
the big dude. He was at it,
and he was on
from Superstar Spectacle.
Yeah, he was on Superstar Spectacle. He was in an 8-man tag. He was on the babyface side. So they converted him to a heel. The Bollywood boys, if you want to see them, they're on 205 Live every week. They're entertaining. But I like him with two new heavies. Him being bald is a little weird.
I like it.
I think he's fine as like a mid card or upper mid card foil.
I like it. That maybe it's just me. I'm still a believer in gender as a fringe main eventer. He's not somebody you're gonna want to see in the main event every now. He's like Sheamus in 2010, even though he's much older than that. He's probably the same age as Sheamus was in 2010, to be honest with you, because Sheamus is already old as fuck in 2010. But it's like you don't really want to see Sheamus. He's not the best champion. But you could see it for a couple months. You could see it in short spurts. I can see gender being that guy in short spurts. He looks very fucking good. He might not be the best wrestler, but he has the look, you know? As long as you don't do too much for... Like, Drew would actually be a really good challenger for him, I think, like, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, so if you go to Jinder and Drew, that's fine. I wouldn't personally be interested in another, month or whatever of Strowman and Lashley, but because I think it's the same problem that you ran into the past month where what do you do to keep it fresh? Because you've been kind of building it already. So now you're going to, that's going to be your Money in the Bank title feud. And this is why, if you just do a tournament, you take up a ton of TV time and also, fill space in weeks.
Raw is, where are you going to put in that tournament? There's no fresh faces.
I don't know. Put Ali in it. Who cares? Put Ricochet in it.
Put Ali and Ricochet on Raw, period.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they should, but they're not.
Put Ali and Ricochet in the first round of the tournament against each other. Who cares?
Right.
You have 600 guys on your roster.
I know, I'm just saying, but they're not going to. There's been enough tons of evidence to suggest they're not going to do that. And it's really stupid, but they're not going to. Like, I think that they've done a good job infusing other talents into the show, and they should follow suit with Ali and Ricochet, but they just seem to have no interest in shying away from other people right now. They're gun shy. And it's dumb.
Yeah.
But they're gun shy.
But yeah, no, I think Lashley's going to retain though.
100%. And then the final match on this card announced at least for the Universal Championship, it is Roman Reigns versus Cesaro. Now, a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, I made a case for Cesaro getting a quick title run, do a quick change back to Roman. Nah, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
If they ain't broke, don't fix it.
And no.
Honestly, I'm totally fine if Roman holds that title until next year.
He should. Why not? I mean, they've, bringing Jimmy Uso back has been a good way to keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's something that they have to keep doing, but
it's the best thing going.
If someone,
the main roster.
I see you with the NWO reference there. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it's the best thing going there to that. Go.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, if someone on SmackDown wins Money in the Bank, that's something that is another intriguing option throughout. You could have a big SummerSlam match against a part-timer that fills some time for you. There's a way to get to Mania with him having the title and it not being boring and, drawn out or whatever.
Also,
go ahead.
I definitely think we're probably going to get a fatal four-way for the IC title on this show with Apollo, Owens, Big E, and Sammy.
I'm fine.
I would say next month in Money in the Bank, but all four of those guys can be Money in the Bank ladder match too. So
yeah,
I would not be surprised if they did a fatal four.
I would say the one reason why, I'd be for Cesaro winning at any point and for a quick change, right? Okay, maybe he drops it again on SmackDown in 2 weeks, which, by the way, I think it's been since Daniel and AJ that they've done a title change of WWE or Universal Championship on TV. But he, when I say he, I mean Roman. Roman's only got 5 championship reigns. So yeah. If you want him to kind of stat pad a bit, add another championship reign, quick title change isn't going to... A quick title change might do him even better than just holding that shit all the way to WrestleMania, because in the long run, who's going to fucking remember that he lost it to Cesaro for 2 weeks? Nobody. If he continues to hold that shit, or if he has a long run into WrestleMania, nobody's going to remember the 2 weeks that Cesaro held the belt. So... That's the reason that I would be for it, but I guess the way that this has been going on TV, it's setting up for Roman to win. It's setting up for, again, the odds are stacked against Roman Reigns. You brought Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
You brought Jimmy back. God, here we go again with that. It was so easy when it was only one of them on TV. You brought Jimmy back, and I love that. Jimmy was like, I ain't no bitch, because he's been calling what I've been calling Jay since the moment he started fucking with Roman. He's been a bitch. So, that's the interesting part is, okay, how does Jimmy now fall in line? Because it can't just, it can't just be Jimmy is now obedient to Roman in the way that Jay's obedient to Roman. There's got to be some evolution there, with those two. But, I think at some point in the fall, you're going to get all three of them holding the straps, which is going to be awesome because then we're finally going to get Usos and the Street Profits, and they're going to do magic together. If you thought the Usos and the New Day was fire, wait till you get the Usos and the Street Profits. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, this is setting up for Roman to win. This is setting up for some wonky thing to happen with Jimmy and Jay to kind of take Cesaro off his game, and Roman comes in, gets his win, and the Tribal Chief retains. But this is going to be an interesting main event match. I hope it main events. I think this is an interesting main event match. Let's continue on here on this show. Eva Marie's back, and this is a contentious thing. I think that was rumored maybe like less than a year ago. I think it was rumored that Eva Marie would be coming back, and now she's bypassing NXT and just immediately getting vignettes on Raw. And it's very evident that the girls in the locker room aren't happy with Eva Marie coming back. And, you know, she took her ball and she went home in a spot where I think that she was actually doing well in 2016 before she left, because she didn't wrestle. They played it perfectly where she was just this fucking vain person who, you know, came to the ring. She did her thing. She never wrestled. And she was just garnering massive heat. And I thought she was doing well with that before she took her ball and went home. And, you know, going off of the reaction from the women in the locker room, they're upset with that still. So it is what it is. You know, I like seeing her more than I like seeing her, if you know, you know. And it's just one of those things where it's like, well, fuck, why do they keep bringing in terrible people, kind of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really see a place for her because she's not a very good wrestler, which makes it hard to get by in 2021. I mean, I know, you get Dana Brooke every week. She's not very good either, but she's better than Eva. I mean,
is she? Well, I mean, I guess. this is one of the biggest signs that there is just a complete, there's a wall built up between the women of NXT and the women of WWE, and it is pretty much impenetrable at this point. Because aside from Rhea, we got no call-ups this year, pretty much. We've had a very limited amount in the last 2 years. And it seems to me that none of the NXT women really want to go up there. And to a point, I almost can see what their perspective is, because look at what happens every single week with them. And if they're bringing in Eva, then that tells me, okay, first of all, I have no interest in, you know, whatever she's doing, and I'm not looking forward to everyone who's really like, oh yeah, look how much heat she gets. Because it's so difficult to rile people up on the internet. Anyone can do that. Any idiot can make people mad. And Rob, you're not an idiot, but you make people mad almost every week with the same shit that you do. It's true. Not hard. And it's especially not hard to rile up wrestling stands, because they're, you know, we know enough about that, the wrestling stand community, to suggest that they'll get angry about anything. And they'll just poorly, repetitively talk about stuff. But with Eva, it's like, okay, you're right, Pierce. She was on the right trajectory, but like, it's sort of just like, okay, has she improved? If so, okay, whatever, sure. But I can't find it within me to care. And it's like, okay, if they're going to bring Eva back, and if they're not going to get any call-ups, like, what's next here? Are we going to, it's not like, you know, she isn't, you know, that she's on the same level, but it's like, okay, are we going to start seeing like Kelly making more appearances? Are they going to bring more women from the past back in because nobody from NXT wants to come up? It's like, What are we doing here, and what are we going to get out of this, and where is she going to be placed? Because I feel like she's probably going to be placed in a pretty high role, and not many people are going to be happy about that, especially with how dreadful Raw is right now, especially with their women.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I'm already dreading the reactions of the first time that she pins Asuka, because I know that that's probably going to happen.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna, you know, it's their job, so I don't really, you know. I'm not going to have like sympathy that they're picking Eva over Asuka or whatever the hell, but like, you know, I'm already dreading that.
I just don't see really what Eva's adding to the show. And that's the issue.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like, okay, you already have a heel in Charlotte who can rile people up, as Pierce said, as she can get a reaction, and she's good at her job. She can wrestle. Eva, the last time we saw her, not really. So I don't know what she adds to the show either.
Yeah,
she adds nothing that a Ruby Riott or a Liv Morgan or a Naomi or even a Lana can provide. She adds nothing that a Shayna Baszler can provide. She adds nothing that who's old girl that's an authority figure now?
Sonya.
She adds nothing that Sonya Deville can add. She adds nothing that a Mia Yim can't add. She adds nothing that Aaliyah can't add.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, not to be whatever, but it's like, oh, she's attractive. They're all attractive.
They're all attractive. Like,
but
it's not
where are you going to lose by not having Eva Marie? It's like, oh, well, fuck, I got to stare at Dana Brooke tonight, which, by the way, she has nothing that Dana Brooke doesn't add. She has nothing that Mandy Rose doesn't add. Mandy Rose came in, did her gimmick better than her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I don't like it.
No, but I mean, hey, we gotta watch Jackson Riker every Monday, so you know, we're at baby steps with them. And apparently, Velveteen Dream is backstage at Monday Night Raw. That's going to grow into a major problem if he appears on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if they want a vignette on Sunday for him, I'm going to scream.
They cannot allow this man to be on TV. Like, it would be beside themselves to do. I mean, I don't even know if I could say that because, like, you know, Riddle's still on TV, so. Yeah. Riddle's in a really good spot with RK-Bro, which, I mean, like, I'm not going to lie, I kind of like RK-Bro, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just, I love Randy Orton. The Randy Orton-ness of it kind of...
Well, it just feels out. Like putting Dream on TV is asking for trouble, I think, from, you know, a crowd reaction when it comes back, but also, you know, being on NXT, okay, whatever, it's its own little world down there, but once you get on the main roster, you know, you're going to have more people Googling if they don't know the story. You're going to have more press coverage of, you know, happened.
To be fair, we thought that with Riddle, too, and nothing's really happened in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, Riddle hasn't been in front of a crowd yet outside of Mania.
But I'm just saying that, like, you know, it's a very,
but
close-quarter incident, but I still get your point, though.
Yeah.
But yes, you are asking for trouble, and it's just, it would just be really bad. Like I said, they've done a lot of shameless shit. Like, that would be really bad.
Plus, I mean, if you just Google his name, I mean, there's, you know, three or four stories about the allegations just on the front page. So you're just asking for trouble.
You are. You definitely are. And I mean, even they don't even have him in the intro anymore in NXT. As was pointed out to me by a friend of mine who watched it last night, he's not even in the intro. They're not even talking or featuring him anymore. So
no, it's kind of been feeling. It's kind of been feeling like they're just waiting for his contract to expire, but we'll see.
He's getting propped up to Raw. Like I said, if I see that friggin' purple smoke, the start of vignette on Sunday, I'm going to scream.
Well, being backstage at Raw though doesn't mean that you're
mean shit. No.
You know,
it doesn't, but it's still not great.
Yeah.
Really not. Before we actually, did I have something else? All right, so I had Brian's contract. Before we talk about Brian's contract,
I'm not watching NXT every week. It's kind of just a thing where, you know, I only got time for so much wrestling. We had to watch 8 hours of TV. I mean, technically six when, yeah, it's about 6 hours of TV with 05 and, you know, I only got so much time. But Cameron Grimes is elevating his character, and it's been amazing to see.
Oh, yeah.
Truly has. The stuff he's doing with Ted DiBiase is awesome.
Yeah. No, exactly. And, you know, that's something that is going to go a long way to have great character work. If he can just keep riding this for however long, why not? You know?
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I like all the DiBiase stuff. And, no, it's been very entertaining.
Hell yes. Now let's talk about Daniel Bryan. His contract is up with the Federation. I would assume now he's a free agent. He's free to really go anywhere, but you know, that I think we all feel like Brian is going to stay, right? Like, this isn't a thing where he's trying to angle AEW to get a better contract or anything like that. You know, this feels like Brian is staying, and he's staying for good. Last time we chatted, this is before the title match against Roman, which was a damn good title match. I feel like he might just kind of fall into the part-time role and, you know, continue to do stuff backstage where he appears every now and then, because what, he's 41, I want to say now.
Yeah.
His best days wrestling behind him.
Yeah. I've been wrestling for 25 years or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Time. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, stay home for a little bit, come back and be a part-time guy. You know, he wants to have a thing where he works for WWE, but is able to work elsewhere. And I don't see it happening. I think they did something similar for Jericho.
Yeah.
So maybe, but it would surprise me if he did that.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm sorry. We got a break. We got a break because we have breaking news. Miro is the new TNT champion. He just beat what's his face? Two-Face.
Darby Allin.
Yeah, that dude. He's, you know, is I like this. I like this. Miro hasn't been doing shit in AEW.
No, he's been there for almost a year or whatever now, and yeah, it's good that he's, you know, getting the rub, and it looks like he's going to feud with Lance Archer. I think that'll be very good. And yeah.
Two beefy men pumping meats.
Exactly.
Can't wait.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think Brian's going to stay ultimately. Or maybe he'll just choose to retire. I don't know. I mean, who knows?
I think we have it like set in our minds because there's so many dream matches with Brian that we can get. You know, if he goes to NXT, he's got Gargano, he's got Adam Cole. You know, if he goes to Monday Night Raw, we get him and Drew, we get him and Bobby, you know, matches that we haven't seen before. He might just want to just chill, you know, and granted, he spent 3 years, I want to say, on the sidelines, just chilling. Maybe he does want to, you know, sit and wrestle, but I don't know, man. If you put your body through the hell that Brian has, why would you continue to work a full-time schedule?
Well, yeah, and I mean, even those 3 years, you know, he's still going to TV every week and doing whatever he's doing. So when's the last time that he actually had, like, a full-on break? It probably has been...
Well, 2015 up until his announcement.
Yeah. But even then, I mean, he was only at a break because he was, physically miserable.
Yeah.
You know, you think he's in pretty good health right now. He's, you know, he's got two kids. They're young. You know, he probably wants to just stay home for a little bit.
Like Brock Lesnar says, I don't give a shit about your kids. Now let's go back into, I miss Brock so much. Now let's go back to the year 2005. We are coming off of Backlash, the actual Backlash, not redacted Backlash. We got a very mid-match between Batista and Triple H. Obviously, Batista retained. And we're going to get an interesting little tournament to decide who's going to be Batista's next opponent. It's Triple H. It's going to be Triple H. But we get a really awesome moment in one of these first matches of this tournament. And then on SmackDown, continuing to build towards the conflict between Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. And then also, they got a tournament of their own because, you know, let's start another tournament while we got a tournament going on in the other show, right? Newsflash, JBL wins that one. And I believe next week we'll be talking about Judgment Day. So we're on the lead into Judgment Day as well. Guys?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So before we get started, let's talk about some things that were happening in 2005 this week. The five biggest movies in America. Number five was Sahara. Number four was The Amityville Horror. Number three was XXX State of the Union, which made $12 million, almost $13 million. Number two was The Interpreter, which was number one last week. And number one is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
This was a really good fucking movie.
I didn't expect it to be. It made $21 million at the box
office. Yeah.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Indeed. All right, and elsewhere, the top five songs in America. Number five was O by Ciara featuring Ludacris. Number four was Lonely by Akon. Dropping down to number three after being at number one for several weeks was Candy Shop. Number two, Staying Strong is Hate It or Love It. And number one, the new number one song is Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
Well, we did Holla Back Girl's like been trending towards that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say, like, yeah, it's been on the list. So I ain't got to talk
about it. Last week it was number three.
Yeah. It'll be up there for a little bit, and then I believe Mariah Carey dominates.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Did you do playoff recap? Or if you didn't, I mean, it's fine.
Well, we can
do
that in the middle.
Figure it out.
We got two pieces of shows. Because there were, I did it, remember, because I did it through May 1st.
Yeah.
In the last show.
Yeah, so we got Raw from Boston.
Yes.
We open with Batista and Christy backstage, and Bischoff shows up and asks Christy to give him a moment with Batista.
But Batista insists that she stays.
Yeah, they tried to kind of force something in there with those two. Bischoff congratulates Batista and says tonight is the perfect night to announce an 8-man tournament to announce a new number one contender. We'll call it the Gold Rush Tournament. No one in the tournament will know who their opponent is until they get in the ring. Batista can have the night off, but Batista said he would like to have a match tonight. He'd like to be against Eric Bischoff. Bischoff says that's not going to happen, and Batista says that he was just kidding.
So we started things off with Christian, who of course was so popular right now that they had to get him on the show just to rap last night.
Yeah.
So he's out there and he's facing Kane.
Yeah. Then Kane threw Christian into Tomko on the apron, so that took Tomko out, and he hit a chokeslam on Christian for the win. Then Tomko got chokeslammed after the match. You know, good opener, but I mean, it's weird, though, that Christian is so hot right now, and they just keep kind of not giving him opportunities, but that's his whole career, so including right now, where he's in some sort of a feud with Team Taz for the last 2 months.
Well, I think that he was going to face Ricky Starks.
Well, yeah.
Ricky Starks has a fractured neck.
Yes, but Ric Flair laughs at Christian for losing the match, and then Flair does a rap about how Triple H will win the tournament. You know.
Classic stuff.
Hassan and Daivari come out. They say everyone is prejudiced, and that's why Hassan's not in the Gold Rush tournament. Blame Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, each and every person in the arena for what happened at Backlash. But also, Daivari needs to be held accountable. Hassan says Daivari let him down and then slaps him, and they leave together.
Fair enough, sir. Cracks are starting to form. So then we get Viscera versus Simon Dean. Viscera said last night proved how physical he can be, and he proved his hunger for love. Started talking to Lillian as he has moved on from Trish. Simon Dean came out and said, no one wants to see that. Women don't want men who are out of shape like Viscera or David Wells.
Hell yeah.
Totally forgot David Wells was on the Red Sox this year.
David Wells is on like 12 teams.
Yeah.
The Padres.
And then the White Sox.
He was on the White Sox a couple times, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't need a match between these two, really. But
it's, you know, it's mid and lower card.
Viscera wins with the big splash and goes back over by Lillian, says he's back on the market. Bischoff goes into his office and finds Triple H, who said he just wanted to come and hang out. try and get some answers to questions he has, like what the hell is Eric doing? There shouldn't even be a tournament. Triple H should be champion, and he'll do whatever he has to do to get his rematch. I mean, what you have to do is win the tournament.
Yeah.
You know.
Then we get an interview with Shelton Benjamin, who and Maria wanted to know if he was nervous about not knowing his opponent. And he said that it's fine. He's not nervous. Then Jericho showed up and said that Shelton earned his respect last night, but Jericho needs to win the Gold Rush tournament because he hasn't had a one-on-one title shot in 3 years. Correct.
Yeah.
I believe the last time was Mania, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
It was Mania X8.
Yo, speaking of Shelton, I'm glad that he and Cedric are working a program now. I think it's going to be good for both of them.
I think it's good, but it shouldn't happen in the first place.
No.
Because they shouldn't have broken
up. Well, I know, but let me move to Shelton's Gold Rush Tournament match against Shawn Michaels. And
what a banger!
Really, one of the probably five best matches in Raw history.
Agreed.
That's a tall. Like, I off the top of my head, I don't know if I could say it's one of the top five, but god damn, it was good. Oh my. This is one of those matches that, okay, you don't really give a shit about psychology or storytelling or anything. You just want two dudes to just go out there, give 130%, get as many fucking near falls as possible, and then you end it on an incredible note. This is a match that, had I watched this and I don't know what's coming up next, Shelton Benjamin's a fucking superstar.
Yeah.
Because he matches Shawn on every single level. It's so good. Even 16 years later, in the crowd, if every single person in the formerly known as Fleet Center, then now the Boston Garden, is on their feet, every single one of them was on their feet. That's a hell of a match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's very good. There's nothing really more you can say about it.
All-time,
you know the finish.
Like, if you have never seen that match with, like, if you listen, you probably have. But if, let's just say, for chance, you weren't watching wrestling in 2005, right? Go watch Shelton Benjamin versus Shawn Michaels round one of the Gold Rush tournament. It will blow your fucking mind. And you can put that shit up against any flip-de-doo Young Bucks match, and they will make the Young Bucks look like amateurs.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe they put it on YouTube the other day, too, so you can go watch it there.
I really want to, like, have a conversation with Shelton one day and ask, you know, what was it like scripting out that match, specifically that ending? Whose idea was the ending? Because only Shelton can do that.
Well, I mean, the thing about the ending, too, is, you know, Michael's on the other side of the ring.
Yes.
Oh.
Like, he's against the other ropes, and Shelton jumps the entire way. Like, that's an underrated part of it, because Michaels is leaning on the other ropes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's good stuff. You know, Michaels wins. You know, maybe you could have Shelton go over, but, you know.
Nothing is really lost.
No, exactly. Todd Grisham wants to know why Edge is in the Gold Rush tournament, despite having the briefcase, and Edge says that not even Batista could withstand two title matches against Edge.
Smart.
Yeah, it's sure. Good lot.
Money in the bank is just insurance.
It's like why Miz was in Elimination Chamber this year.
Yeah.
Todd tells Edge that if he gets drafted, his briefcase would be useless, because it's only good for the championship on Raw. Edge says that all that matters is that he'll be the champion. After he finishes his interview, he sees Victoria talking to Lita, and he goes over and asks them what they're looking at.
They have some fucking balls for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Like, you know, good foreshadowing, I think. They've been kind of planning to see. I wonder, like, at what moment did they know that they were going to put them together? Like, when is, because it was just funny that, like, okay, a couple weeks ago we're in New York and New York gave Lita hell, but, like, there was no real reaction for it in Boston.
Yeah. No, and I don't know if they're, like, turning it down at this point, or because, you know, all, like, the recaps you read kind of say that they are chanting it, but you don't hear it, so.
Yeah, okay, well, if they say they're chanting it, then I get it, but, you know, I do want to know at what point that they, because I want to say it's end of May when they put them together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming up. It's coming up very, very soon. So I'm really intrigued at, you know, at what point were they like, yeah, they're pulling the trigger on this, because
there has to be some long-term discussion about this. There has to, you know, they got to make sure that both Edge and Leader are fine with it. It's a very touchy situation, which really should have never been a touchy situation because, you know, relationships in real life, it's tough. It's hard. And you decide to bring that onto screen, you know, it's bigger than just doing things for heat, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's something I would want to know. It was good foreshadowing, I guess.
Yeah. No, I know they did a Something to Wrestle About. It was one of their first episodes, I think, that's way back. But I might go back and listen to it again this week.
Yeah, since you said it, I'm probably going to go listen to it after this show. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rosie and Hurricane are defending their tag titles against La Resistance. Okay. You know, they send Rob Conway to the outside and double team Sylvain and get the win. So, all right.
Yep. We get Edge versus Chris Jericho in our next Gold Rush tournament match. The crowd was not all that into this match.
Yeah.
I definitely heard a boring machine.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Jericho got Edge. One of the things where, like, okay, we're seeing guys go up against each other way too much.
Oh, yeah. Because they've done Edge Jericho so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, give me something new. Like, we just saw Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin in a match we've never seen before. Granted, we're going to get a match that we've seen time and time again, but, you know, it's one that always delivers coming up.
Mm.
You know, yeah. Edge and Jericho, yeah, they're two good workers, but, like, I can't recall a match that was specifically special.
Yeah.
You know?
Jericho puts Edge in the Walls of Jericho, and Edge reaches the ropes and crawls out of the ring. Then while he's outside, he gets the briefcase and hits Jericho with it. Earl Hebner misses it because he's bad at his job.
Terrible. God, I can't wait till he gets fired.
Edge comes back and hits a spear for the win. Edge is moving on.
Slide aside, I was really looking forward to these two when they were tag champions, and it hurt a lot when Edge got hurt.
They
had a really good tag team.
Yeah. It's The Rock's birthday, so we get a happy birthday Rock graphic.
Rock's birthday is May 2nd, you stupid son of a bitch.
Just really doing a lot to try and get him to forgive them for letting his contract run out.
Oh, yeah, no, Jim Ross definitely talked to Rock, and he can't wait to get back to performing 7 years later.
Yeah, you know. Chris Masters will give $4,000.
Who do you think caps more? Jim Ross on like 2005 Raw or Terry Bollea on A&E's documentary?
Oh my series? God. And I don't get why he's in some of these. Like, what was he doing in the Booker T one?
He like, besides we coming for you, yeah. There's no reason for him to be. Well, I guess the night that Booker won the title.
Yeah. But
it's like, it's a footnote.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, I guess Kevin Nash didn't need to be in it either, but all he did was explain the Time Warner contracts. So,
just, you know, perfect person to explain the Time Warner contracts. I sat on my ass and I got paid. Thank you, Kevin. Which, by the way, I don't think that that we talked since they dropped the Two Dudes with Attitudes. We might have, I don't know, but like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really,
it's good stuff. Good.
And it makes you like Kevin Nash even more because, like, you know, it makes sense. Like, okay, Sean always wanted to be a wrestler. Kevin Nash wanted to make money and get paid. And sometimes that's fine. Brock Lesnar wants to get paid. You know, he might like wrestling. It might be a thing. But
yeah,
pay me. Kevin Nash was just upfront about it. Yo, I want to be good enough to where I get paid at the highest level that I can make money.
Yeah, that's respectable. Exactly. Chris Masters will give $4,000 and a Red Sox jersey to whoever can break the master lock.
And a signed Tom Brady ball.
Yeah.
I want to know if that's deflated or not, though.
Good stuff. You know, I learned this today. I learned this today that Tampa goes to New England this year.
They do.
So that'll be fun.
Week 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We go to Tampa week before Halloween.
Yes.
It's going to be fun.
So Chris Masters finds someone from the crowd, and they can't break the master lock. The guy says his name is James DeFalco. When you Google that, it takes you a guy named Jimmy Jack Cash, who was a notorious grifter and scammer, and also stormed the Capitol.
Wait, so that dude is a Capitol stormer? For real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Holy shit. His name is what? Jimmy Jack Cash?
Yeah. Actually, so the story is that he was at the Capitol but didn't go inside. But come on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot better. What if he ran into Jericho's wife?
And then it's time for the main event. Chris Benoit against Triple H in the Gold Rush tournament. Flair gets in the apron and Benoit brings him in and focuses on him instead of Triple H. And ref tries to break things up but gets knocked down. So they do a 2-on-1 on Benoit, but Batista comes out, takes them both out. And Benoit puts Triple H in the sharpshooter and he crawls through the ropes, but Batista pulls the rope away and Triple H has to tap. Good stuff. I like it.
Very good stuff.
Yeah, very good match.
Makes you think you're not getting Batista against Triple H again.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, SmackDown's up next.
Yes, SmackDown from the capital of New Jersey, Trent, the Sovereign Bank Arena.
Did you go to this one?
I've never actually been to Sovereign Bank Arena before. Mm-hmm. Never been to Trent. I've been to Trenton like once or twice. I think one time was for jury duty, another time was just driving through. I've rarely had a reason to go to Trenton.
Trenton's kind of like, isn't it closer to Philly than it is New York?
Yes, Trenton is down south.
Okay.
It's very close to Philadelphia. In fact, it's like right on like the river.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's right on the Delaware, and it's kind of near Levittown and a couple other areas near Philadelphia. So yeah, I really have never had any reason to go there. But cool that they're there. We start the show off with Rey Mysterio, who's just walking out. His music plays. He doesn't do the usual, you know, jump out through the sky and whatnot. He's just walking down, red t-shirt, goes in. He said that Eddie's a great liar. Eddie had Rey believing that they were family, but he played him like a fool. But he's not anyone's fool anymore. He calls Eddie out. Eddie came out, no music, nothing. Slowly made his way to the ring, glared at him the whole time. Rey got in his face and said he's right there. What does Eddie have to say? Eddie said that he has nothing to say to Rey, and Rey says maybe he'll fight. So Rey shoves him. Eddie said that he's never laid a hand on Rey like that, and he'll never fight him. Eddie heads away. Rey wanted to know if Eddie was scared, and Rey will beat him again, which stops Eddie for a second, but he just keeps on going and leaves.
Yeah.
And then we go on into our next segment backstage. Rey told Teddy that he wanted to face Eddie and said that it's not that easy. Chavo came in. Rey told him to mind his business. Chavo told Rey that Eddie treated him better than he has his own family, but he'll never be a Guerrero. That started a fight between the two. So they were quickly separated, and we're going to get a street fight between these two later on
today. Yes. Good stuff. Building up.
Yeah. Great way to start the show.
Matt Morgan is in action against Rob Echoes. Wins a squash match, and it was Robert Stone. So that's fun.
That's great.
You know. Booker T is in action against Orlando Jordan, who is not very good. That is the conclusion I've come to about Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, no, he never was good. I knew that back then, that he wasn't good. Like, a good match to snore through if you want to see how not good Orlando Jordan is the very quick match or matches that he had with Chris Benoit at SummerSlam. We'll watch it, obviously, but yeah, no, he's very mid.
Mm-hmm. Booker gets the win, and Charmel is celebrating backstage, but Kurt Angle comes up behind her and says that Booker cost him the number one contender match last week, so he wants to face Booker at Judgment Day. Okay, well, that's fine.
That's fine.
You know, nice.
Let's keep it there.
A little bit of a tense interaction, but nothing too out of line. Eminem and Scotty Tuhati are in action again, or Eminem are in action against Scotty Tuhati and Shannon Moore.
Yep.
Which,
a decent way to, you know, get them established, continuing on, beating two veterans there. They won with the snapshot.
Yeah.
Ray came down with a pipe and took out Nitro and Mercury as they retreated. So he's still very unhappy.
Yeah, he's upset. JBL says,
blasting out.
JBL says what happened to him at WrestleMania would have broke a normal person because most of these people, when knocked down, crawl into a fetal position and quit. JBL went through three other guys last week. Now there's just one left, and it's John Cena. Cena comes out, says that it's sad that JBL stole the old title, and acts like it's the current title, but Cena agrees on one thing. JBL's not a quitter, so Cena suggests an I Quit match for Judgment Day.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Then we get Kurt Angle versus Mike Reed in the Kurt Angle Invitational. This wasn't really a match. Beat his ass a bit.
Yeah, Angle did beat him up. Yeah. Mike Reed is still an enhancement guy for NXT and AEW Dark, so good for him.
Yeah.
That's fun. Kurt calls out Booker T after the match. Booker accepts Kurt's challenge. Kurt says he's going to make him tap at Judgment Day and then called Charmel a gutter slut, which, come on. Booker hits the ring, gets the upper hand on Angle and holds him back while Charmel slaps him. And then Angle hits a low blow on Booker and gets free. But referees come out before he can get to Charmel.
Yeah. We're escalating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chavo came into Eddie's locker room, wanted to talk to him. Eddie is a far better man than Chavo. Ray disrespected him in front of millions of people, but Eddie didn't do anything about it. So he put friendship and loyalty first instead of teaching Ray a lesson. Mm-hmm. So Chavo will get his revenge in the street fight later tonight.
Yes. Carlito's back in action.
He is.
Against Hardcore Holly, which...
Definitely the guy you want to work in the...
I keep forgetting that Hardcore Holly is there until like 2008.
Yeah. Eric or Holly's the one that injured him in the first place, so, you know, probably shouldn't have had them work together, but he goes for an Alabama slam, and Carlito rolls him up and uses the ropes and gets the win. So Carlito is back on track. It says that Big Show is going to be on Carlito's Cabana next week, and Carlito's going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Teddy Long's in the ring. Next week, John Cena's debut album will be in stores, but tonight is the debut of his music video for Bad Bad Man. I watched it 3 times between these 2 weeks of television, and it was great each time.
Truly.
Yeah, just a great music video.
Funny little music video. They spoof the A-Team. It's funny, which I think the anniversary, the 16th anniversary of, I can't remember if it's The Time Is Now or My Time Is Now, but the 16th anniversary of that album just passed the other day, and I think it peaked at 15 on the charts, but just it's a great piece of history. It's a great piece of anecdotal history that John Cena, 16-time world champion, has starred in a couple of big billion-dollar movie franchises. John Cena is a platinum-selling rapper. And don't ever forget that. That man is a platinum-selling rapper.
Yeah. Yeah, it peaked at 15 overall, number 3 on the rap our album chart, so...
I really want to know, like, what was it above? 2005 was interesting. It was a really good year for rap, so the fact that John Cena was 3rd on that list...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
So let me get into Chavo against Ray in the street fight. Neither of them are in street clothes, so that's already losing a point there.
Yeah.
Ray still has his lead pipe. Chavo goes to hit Ray with a chair, but Ray avoids it, so now there's just a chair in the ring. Chavo gets a ladder. Ray drop kicks it off his head. Ray does a moonsault off the ladder onto Chavo, except he didn't open the ladder. He just leaned it against the ropes and climbed up. It was pretty cool. Ray goes to dive off the top rope with the chair, but Chavo pulls him down. Then Eminem comes down to the ring. They get the ladder. Ray kicks it in their faces. Really probably Chavo's best match in the company.
I would say
it's a low bar because he's not all that good, but Ray hits a seated senton while Chavo's sitting on the chair and he gets the victory. And then Eminem come back in, they and Chavo start beating Ray up. Eddie comes out, takes out Nitro Mercury, gets Ray up and hugs him and punches him, starts beating him up, rips his mask open and suplexes him on the ring steps.
That he did really good heel work, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's great stuff. You know, this run for Eddie is just the next couple months. You know, it gets a little convoluted, I guess, with the bringing Dominic in, but it's very good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Without question.
Yeah.
All right. And that was SmackDown. Let's take a brief break here to talk about the NBA playoffs. By the time that SmackDown was over, the first round was complete, I believe. Yeah, so that was May 5th. So by the time Raw rolls around, we're all done here.
By
so,
the time Raw rolled around, Gilbert Arenas took my heart away.
So as a recap, Miami had swept New Jersey 4-0 to move on to the conference semifinals. In addition to that, the Bulls, who were up in their series against the Washington Wizards, unfortunately, after being up 2-0, had lost 4 consecutive games up until May 6th, when the Wizards won 94-91 to end that series. Larry Hughes of St. Louis was the team leader in points for the Wizards that night with 21. Kirk Heinrich and Nocioni, whatever his first name was. Andres Nocioni, there we go, were the team leaders in points for the Bulls in that game six.
Also, Larry Hughes will go on to play for the Bulls in a couple of years from there.
Very forgettable run for Larry Hughes. This was the first Bulls playoff team post-dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say it all the time that, like, okay, the Bears own Chicago. Like, there will never be a bigger sports team in Chicago than the Bears. When the Cubs, they love the Cubs, obviously. I think, you know, Sox playoff games has, you know, one of the best atmospheres. You know, the Blackhawks run was pretty dope. But when the Bulls are really good, Chicago, like the buzz in Chicago is just it's immeasurable when the Chicago Bulls are good. And so this was the first time in 7 years that we got to see a Bulls team that was worthy of, you know, giving a fuck about. And they would, you know, obviously think they only missed the playoffs one time in the next 10 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was ended up us getting Derrick Rose. So this is the start of a, you know, I don't know if I would quantify it as a really good run, because the furthest they got was that one shot at the conference finals when they lost in 5 to Miami. But it really brought a lot of folks back that were so disinterested by the way the dynasty ended, the baby Bulls era. I mean, we finally got to see the fruit of the labor a little bit. And, you know, this was a good year for the Bulls is, you know, all I'll say.
All right, so going down the ladder of the bracket here, we're going to go quickly here. Indiana had won their series in 7 against Boston. They closed it out with a very demoralizing 97-70 win at the Fleet Center on May the 7th.
So Boston 70 was points in a game 7. Fuck.
They scored 12 points in the second quarter, but Indiana also only scored 13. So,
oh man, I forgot they had Gary Payton.
I forgot too until I just saw this too. Yeah,
Boston. Yeah, this was the Gary Payton year for Boston. That's right. Yeah, no, that's bad. That's fucking bad. And the Pacers were obviously offensive inept. You know, the fact that Boston only scored 70 on a Pacers team that didn't have Ron Artest. That's bad.
So that was the Eastern Conference, because, and also, Detroit had closed out against Philadelphia 88-76 on May 3rd to win their series.
So we're getting Miami, Washington, and then Detroit, Indiana, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. So, you know, we're continuing on that rivalry here.
I think that's the last time we got Pacers and Pistons in the playoffs, too, because they've both been pretty shit ever since.
Yeah, I believe so.
So out west, Phoenix had, of course, swept Memphis 4-0. Elsewhere, Dallas won in 7 over Houston. Let's see if that
it's gonna be real scary hours for Dallas coming up when they gotta play San Antonio.
Oh yeah. So Dallas had won the clincher 116-76 at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. So they beat them down.
Yeah.
In 7. Jason Terry led with 31 points. Yao Ming had 33-10. So, alas, you know, it's not there for Tracy McGrady, who had scored 37 in game 6.
Who was the center for Dallas at this point? Was it Sean Bradley?
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, man, that sucks to hear about Sean Bradley a couple months ago. He's paralyzed now. That sucked, man.
Yeah. That does suck. Moving along, Seattle had closed out against Sacramento, so they won their series 4-1.
Last playoff series won by a basketball team in Sacramento or Seattle.
Yep.
And I think Sacramento has one more shot at the playoffs, and then
yes,
it's all downhill.
Indeed. And in the final series out west, San Antonio defeated Denver 4-1. So in the Western semifinals, we have Phoenix and Dallas and Seattle and San Antonio. And of course, Steve Nash was named MVP on May the 8th.
It's weird that like we went through that whole West and like you don't hear the Lakers.
This is the
1 year that, you know, yeah, Kobe was great, but the Lakers were shit. That was weird. But 2005 was a really good playoff.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And besides that, there wasn't really anything going on too much in the world of sports that week. If I can see anything here. Giacomo, a 50-1 long shot, won the Kentucky Derby on May 7th.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there was anything else here that's worth discussing. It doesn't seem to be, so we can move on to the ensuing week here.
Yeah.
So, Rob, if you want to lead us off and talk about the movies in America, Billboard Top 5.
Yes. So, number 5 for the movies, we got The Interpreter. Number 4 is Crash. Number 3 is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Number 2 is House of Wax. And then number 1 is Kingdom of Heaven.
I don't remember Kingdom of Heaven.
I remember House of Wax because Paris Hilton got a pipe drilled into her forehead.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I definitely remember that moment. You've seen that terrible movie.
Kingdom of Heaven was directed by Ridley Scott and starred Orlando Bloom and is set during the Crusades of the 12th century.
It's apparently on Hulu and it received critical acclaim. Well, the director's cut got critical acclaim.
You probably don't remember because it came out the week before Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely why.
You know.
And starring Orlando Bloom. Like, let's be honest. Have you watched an Orlando Bloom movie that didn't involve Pirates in the Caribbean? Or, sorry, he wasn't Lord of the Rings. I never saw Lord of the Rings, so, like, I don't give a shit about that either.
Yeah.
He was in Troy. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And moving on to the music, number 5 is Just a Little Bit by 50 Cent. Number 4 is Lonely by Akon. Number 3 is O by Ciara featuring Ludacris. And then
number 1 remains the same.
Yes, still Hate It or Love It and Holla Back Girl.
Yeah, by the way, Ciara, we had a thing. It was a beautiful thing. It's great when, like, you know, two entities can part ways, but there's no hard feelings. You know, you and Russ get to enjoy your time in Seattle, and then I find the love of my life. I find Justin Fields.
Exactly. Let's get to Raw from Wilkes-Barre, which not a place they run super often anymore, but you know.
Hershey Center?
I don't think so, because Hershey's like a little bit further away. Wilkes-Barre is like close to Scranton.
The Electric Center.
Yes, exactly. Triple H is here to open the show. Fans start doing the "you tapped out" chant right away, and Triple H says the match that took place shouldn't matter because the Gold Rush tournament is bogus and he should be the champion. Triple H got screwed back to that. You know, it is funny because I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear from Triple H anymore, and I forgot that he's about to leave for 3 months, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, Wilkes-Barre, that's Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I had stepped out just to get Rob's charger, but that's where that is. And the Giant Center is.
That's one in Hershey.
Gotcha.
Batista comes out. Triple H.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at it. It's also going to be the final Monday Night Raw appearance for Chris Benoit because that was the draft in 2007.
Oh yeah.
Wilkes-Barre. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yes. Batista wants to know why he's supposed to be afraid of Triple H since he's faced him twice and beaten him twice, and Triple H had another chance to face him, but he tapped out last week, and Triple H says he's not amused, the title means nothing until Batista goes through Triple H. Not a WrestleMania fluke win, but go through him. Whether Batista realizes it or not, he needs Triple H a lot more than Triple H needs him. I don't think that's true. He's in Knives Out now.
Yeah. He's in Knives Out. He's getting ready to leave being Drax. You know, he's big. He's big.
Triple H says he'll just leave and go watch Raw from the couch in his mansion and watch Batista fail and fall apart. And then everyone will come crawling back to Triple H, begging him to come back. Batista says no one really cares that he's leaving. The only thing Triple H defines is a sore loser. Batista doesn't need to face him again because he's already beaten him twice. Then we come back from the break and Ric Flair is trying to talk Triple H out of leaving. Triple H tells Rick to get in the car. Rick's going to stay here and fix things, and Triple H just leaves without him. Hassan and Daivari are in the ring. Daivari's begging for forgiveness from Hassan for what happened at Backlash, issues an open challenge, and it's answered by Chris Jericho. I mean, the other thing is that Daivari's not bad in the ring. And we'll see that more in the next couple of years as he gets a couple more opportunities, but he goes for Frankensteiner, Jericho grabs him and hops off the ropes right into the walls of Jericho.
That was a neat setup.
Yeah, I've never seen that setup like that. Hassan attacks Jericho after the match, and Shelton comes down to even the odds and help Jericho out. Christy asks Eric Bischoff if the Divas are eligible for the draft as well. Yes, clearly.
The ironic thing is she does get drafted.
Yes.
Traded or whatever it was.
She gets she gets drafted, and then she is the manager for LOD 2005.
She really?
Mm-hmm. Bischoff says that he hopes Christy gets drafted because she's disrespectful last week. La Resistance come in and they want a tag title rematch, and then they argue about who was at fault last week. Bischoff says he was inspired by the Gold Rush tournament, so they're both in singles matches, but neither one will know who their opponents are. You kind of assume that no one knows who their opponent's going to be for the most part. That's weird to
sometimes.
Ric Flair's leaving a message to Triple H. He hasn't fixed things yet, which, I mean, it's been 10 minutes, so. Christian and Tomko come up, and they say Flair looks upset. They want to console him, make sure he's okay. Christian says it's upsetting that Triple H left because who's going to spit water all over themselves tonight? And Flair challenges Christian to a match, and Christian agrees. And this part's not on Peacock, but ECW One Night Stand has been announced. There's a trailer. So
let the bodies hit the flow.
Yep. Sylvain Grenier is in the ring and he's facing Viscera. Viscera wins. And then goes and eats nachos in front of Lillian and offers her one from his mouth. Says that if she likes the appetizer, she'll love the main course. Yeah, you know. Kane's getting ready for his match and asks Lita if she remembers when she told him that she hopes he rots in hell. But look at them now. They're happily married and Trish is gone. Kane will be champion. They both got what they wanted. Interesting.
Yes.
Kane is in the Gold Rush tournament semifinal against Chris Benoit. And at one point, Benoit had 5 straight German suplexes on Kane.
Yeah.
You know, it's impressive.
Quite a feat.
Benoit goes for a suicide dive while Kane and Lita are on the outside, but then they both move and he kind of stops doing it, but it looks like Lita hurts her legs, so Benoit goes to check on her, and Kane just hits him directly in the back of the head. To get back in the ring, Kane wins with a choke slam.
Yep. So then we get Ric Flair versus Christian, but Christian says that Flair has to go through Tomko if he wants a match with him, actually. Fortunately, Christian got ejected for breaking up the bigger four behind the referee's back, and then Flair hit a low blow and roll up, and he got the win. We're at a pseudo babyface thing for Ric Flair right now.
Yes.
Stacy then plugged her appearance in Stuff Magazine. Simon Dean and Maven came out and harassed her. And Hurricane and Rosie came on to make the save. So we have the origin story of Super Stacy.
There it is. Coach comes into Bischoff's office. He's excited about One Night Stand, and Bischoff doesn't want to hear about ECW on his show because he hates Paul Heyman. Then calls attorney and squash ECW just like he did when he was running WCW.
That wasn't really
good. That's not really what happened.
Well, yeah.
You know.
They kind of squashed themselves.
Yeah. Rob Conway is in the ring, and he has a match with Shelton Benjamin. Shelton wins with the Springboard Bulldog. And Hassan Daivari attacks Shelton after, and Jericho does not save him. Interesting.
Very.
Maria asks Shawn Michaels if he can beat The Edge tonight. Shawn says he's not worried about that and goes out of his way to put Shelton over.
Yeah.
So
very nice.
Yeah.
So we get Shawn versus Edge, rivalry renewed here. Michaels went in for a clothesline on Edge, but hit the ref. Edge went for a spear, but Shawn hit Sweet Chin Music. Still no referee. Edge went to hit Michaels with a briefcase. Michaels countered. Hit Sunset Flip. Edge hit him while he was on the ground. And he got the win.
Yeah.
Edge is on to the final against Kane.
Okay.
Which will be taking place next week.
Yes.
Interesting.
On to SmackDown.
On to SmackDown here. From Reading, Pennsylvania. A place that they like never won.
No.
Ever. Shout out to the Reading Phillies, however.
Yeah. Eddie Guerrero's here. He has new music. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
It's got a cell phone in it now, yeah. And he goes and grabs a chair and a microphone, brings it into the ring. People want to know why he did what he did to Ray. He gave Ray what he wanted, because Ray wanted a fight, and Eddie gave him a fight. Eddie didn't want to do it, but Ray made him do it. He doesn't know why Ray did that. Eddie realizes all the fans were living through Eddie and stealing his passion and love and energy and his Latino heat. He has that back now. He likes how it feels. Has some advice for Ray. Don't show up at Judgment Day, or he's going to make it so his children don't have a father anymore.
His children, whom we've seen on WWE television within the last year.
Yes. Heidenreich beats Spike Dudley. We don't have anything more than
really
that.
Have anything more, other than that Heidenreich is calling his poems disaster pieces.
Yes. Charmel's hyping Booker for his match with Kurt Angle tonight, because, you know, Booker is upset with what Kurt Angle did last week, so he wants a match tonight instead of at Judgment Day. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Or in addition.
Yeah.
Man and Chavo were discussing Eddie, and they said that he's crazy, shouldn't be messed with, that they saw the crazed look in his eyes back in London, or Birmingham, whichever it was. Those three are teaming up tonight against Paul London and two other partners.
Yep.
Josh Matthews was interviewing Kurt Angle, and Angle brought up how the last time that he was interviewing him, he beat his ass, which we're all better for it. And, so he was right to do what he did to Charmel last week, because she slapped him. He doesn't hit women. He makes them feel good. We all have our vices, and Kurtz is gutter sluts like Charmel, who might have some psychopathic disorder, and then said that he wanted to have sex with Booker T's wife.
Not just any sex.
Yeah.
Not just any sex.
You can read the other two.
The kind of bestiality sex, that kind of perverted sex.
Wow.
You know.
Goodness gracious. They had this, like, fixation on rape in this day and age. Remember a couple years ago, Vince's... is talking about going and raping wives and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, and no one wants to do it.
No.
So that's the thing. Like, Kurt is not into it. Like, Kurt can barely say it. You know, Booker probably doesn't want to do it. So who are you doing this for? You're being, you know, provocative just to be provocative, and there's no reason for that.
None at all whatsoever.
No, it's not good. Eminem and Chavo team up against Paul London, Hardcore Holly, and Charlie Haas. Chavo pins London for the win, so he's probably coming back for the Cruiserweight title.
Yep.
JBL's coming out. His book is coming out soon, where it's just a re-release of his other book, but mm-hmm. he kind of added some stuff to it, and he says it's the best written book since the Bible. One thing you're not going to find in it is a parental advisory, unlike John Cena's album, which JBL says will flop. JBL's here to build up America instead of tear it down. John's not a bad man. He's just a bad example, a bad role model, and a bad champion. His 15 minutes of fame are just about over. He's not going to quit against Cena because he's not a quitter. If you say I quit, another man owns your soul. JBL is too rich for anyone to own anything of his. Cena comes out and JBL keeps talking on the mic, and Cena just gets in and tackles him.
The cabinet came out to try and beat him up.
Yeah.
You know, aside from the stupid stuff about building up America or whatever the hell, this was a good promo.
Yes.
He dropped some of his, you know, signature lines.
Well, even that stuff.
I like the, if it smells like smoke, like it's because I've walked through fire.
Yeah.
That line was particularly good. And you know, he mixes in the bullshit or whatever. When he gets down to it, he's really good at the whole talk.
Yes. Eddie Guerrero's in action against Jimmy Jacobs, who...
Wow.
you'll remember from being in Ring of Honor for a million years.
Yeah.
Winning tag titles.
He's in what's the name? He's in AEW, right?
I believe so, because I mean, he got fired because that time Bullet Club like did the invasion of WWE where they hung out outside the building. He fucking went and took a picture with them despite being on the creative team.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb.
Yeah, it's not really a match. Eddie just kind of beats his ass and loses by DQ and says again that if Ray shows up to Judgment Day, his kids will no longer have a father.
I mean, technically. Technically, they already do.
Matt Morgan beat Funaki. Don't have anything more for that. Yeah. Carlito's here for Carlito's Cabana. Big Show comes out. Carlito says Big Show is like a giant one-man army. He wants Big Show to, be his backup from now on. And Big Show says that, you know, they'd be unstoppable, but he plays second fiddle to no one, so he declines the offer. Carlito says that's fine. Gets an apple. Looks like he's going to bite it, but Big Show grabs it from him and bites it instead. As it turns out, it was a poison apple.
And it only takes one bad apple to spoil the punch and Big Show.
You know? Booker T against Kurt Angle. They start brawling right away. Eventually, Angle hits an angle slam on Booker and then just bolts for the locker room. Booker chases him, so we get a double count out. Kirk kicks down the door to Booker's dressing room, and Booker follows him and gets beat up in there in front of Charmel, and it's all very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a very uncomfortable ending to SmackDown.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have to do this. Let's remind you guys, they don't have to do any of this, but fucking Vince.
I would think this would be too far for network television.
It is. I think about that often. I'm like, how the fuck did UPN let y'all get away with this? TVPG.
I assume they're popping, you know, pretty good ratings, so UPN is okay with it, because what else on UPN is getting a big rating like that?
I mean,
but,
okay, let's not do Veronica Mars like that, sir. I don't know what the ratings was like, but that was a good-ass show. Top Model probably had to get pretty good fucking ratings. Like, okay, this is the thing. Top Model comes on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
They don't move to Friday for another couple months. That means that the night before is one of the biggest show for women out right now. Mm-hmm. How? I don't know. I don't know who the King of the Rings are.
Who had a good 2 weeks here?
I guess Edge and Kane.
Yeah, Edge and Kane. I guess Shelton, just for that match, even though he lost. Yeah, we'll go with Edge.
Yeah, you guys can take it. I am starving for some Chicago pizza. I want to get a topping, but like I'm being a cheap ass right now. I'll figure that out very soon. We'll come back and talk. We'll talk the recap of Redacted Backlash, and then I also think that we're getting in the Judgment Day next week, right?
Yes, correct.
We'll talk about Judgment Day next week too.
Yes, and of course the finals of the Gold Rush tournament, which featured, of course, a very controversial finish to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good sell, because I don't remember. So this is a good sell. All right, I'm excited for it. Let's go. Hey, maybe we won't have to shit on a Cody Rhodes promo next week, too. We'll see. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinO31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbershareNet on Twitter. Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital. At BarbershareNet is Instagram. Chris, you want to do the top 25 this Saturday?
Yeah, that works.
Let's do a top 25 this Saturday. You will have that on Monday for the month of April. Getting to talk about what happened at WrestleMania, who's rising, who's falling. Be on the lookout for that. Patreon.com/BarbersChairNetwork. $10 will get you that, plus summer sessions, plus any episodes of special episodes of 4040 Club that I'll try to do. Hey, speaking of the 4040 Club, we're going to be back later on this weekend. We're finally getting back after about three weeks off. A really strange thing happened. The socks are actually good. So, yeah, you gotta hear me talk about that. And, you know, I'm just gonna spend the whole time trolling Sox fans. Like, let's be honest with you, because for some reason they think I'm angry that the Sox are good. Like, I didn't call the Sox being good. Like, I don't bet on the White Sox every fucking night. I'm really mad that I didn't take them on the run line, because it was money.
to take them on the run line. I took them on the alternative run line on Friday, and they smacked the fuck out of Daniel Lynch. So, you know, hey, just word of the wise, the White Sox are facing the lefty. Take the highest alternative run line that you can. You will make a bank. That's it for us. We'll be back next week. Enjoy all the wrestling that is to come, guys. We'll see you guys next week.